Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hello and welcome back to the last episode of Series 4 of Sofa Cinema Club. I'm Colson Smith, and as always, I'm joined by
Jack P. Shepherd,
Ben Bueller.
I've gone extra radio voice for the last episode. The Sofa Cinema Club is our podcast where we get together to educate each other on films. Now, it's all about the films we should have seen, but we haven't. Each week, we watch a film and then we come into the studio to talk about what we loved, hated, and rated about the film. The beauty of our film club is that anybody can join in. All you have to do is watch along with the film at home and then join us every Thursday. This week's film has been chosen by you guys at home, and it is the classic Ferris Bueller's Day Off. But before we get into talking all things the last film of Series 4, as always on Sofa Cinema Club, how has your week been? What have you been up to?
Mine's been really uneventful and boring. Nothing's really happened.
Great for the podcast.
I know. I have nothing to bring to the party.
Coulson has.
He's saved it.
Come on, kidder. You're desperate. How was your week? Ask me. How was your week, Coulson?
Well, seeing as Sofa Cinema Club Extraterrestrials finished, the Sofa Cinema Club private jet was free because Ben wasn't having to fly around the country.
I'll tell you what, it's a long trek the week before.
So I jumped on the plane, didn't I? And I went to the Italian Lake District, is what I'm calling it. I went to Lake Como. Yeah, and just had a few days of chilling out in a very, very, very pretty location.
On your Todd?
No, I went with a mate, actually. Rare for me, isn't it?
It is rare for you. My mate was asking me, when's Coulson an older? I went, yeah, he is. He went, he always does that.
No, I went with a friend, which actually is different for me. I went with Stan, who I train with in Manchester. And normally on holiday, I would just walk around and get lost, basically. But I kind of did that, but Stan's a bit more organised, so there was a bit more of a plan of where we were going and what we were going to see. But no, it was mint. I mean, Lake Como is one of the places that I've always, always wanted to go. Like it. For me, I guess I've kind of just got it in my head of it being this beautiful place. And it didn't disappoint, even in October sort of thing. You know, it's a stunning lake. And the view, Jack, on
the
day
Well, I saw
two.
Your pictures, Coles, and they looked like picturesque, every single one. I was like, wow, look at that. It's great.
You would walk around and all day, around 360, it was like a Apple screensaver. Like, that's all I can describe it as. But day two, I got... So I stayed in Bellagio, which is like a tiny... Like, it's smaller than Media City, okay?
Slummed it then, yeah.
And it's all uphill, downhill, cobbles. So I got the ferry on day two into Como, which is like kind of the bottom of the lake, and it's kind of like the main area. It's obviously named Lake Como. The town is Como. And on top of Como, there's like a village built into the mountain called Brunate. And the view from there, like, we got up and there was this restaurant. And I said to Stan, I was like, shall we eat here? And he was like, yeah. And we just thought it was a normal restaurant. And we walked in and it just had this terrace. And you could see for miles. And I just went to, like, the waitress. I went, like, wow. And she was like, yeah. She said, it's the first day in 2 weeks. It's been clear. She said, we've just been in fog. You could see all of the Swiss Alps. The view I had was Mont Blanc. And I was like, you could literally see for hundreds and hundreds of miles. It was like stunning, breathtaking. And then you'd turn the corner and you'd be able to see, like, it was just mental. And everywhere I kind of went, obviously, where is it? It's like kind of borders Italy and Switzerland. So, like, you've got the mountain ranges, And the higher you get, the more you can see. But you can always see. You can kind of always see the Alps. But then the higher you get, you're like, wow, this is some place. It was a really great few days of hiking, running and eating Italian food.
Sounds great.
Yeah. But a pizza?
Oh, I never want to see a carb ever again. So, you're talking breakfast, lunch and dinner. I mean, breakfast's croissant.
Pasta. Tough one, that.
It's all carbs. Like, there's not a chicken breast in sight.
Yeah, but breakfast, a little coffee.
Well, I don't do coffee, do I? So, yeah, breakfast is like a croissant. So, that's like instant sugar. And then lunchtime, you're there and it's pasta or pizza or sometimes both. Like, it is just full-on carbs. I found on the evening that I was having to eat steak.
Oh, fucking. Oh, I have to eat steak tonight.
I tell you what, this is tough, this holiday business. What are you doing? I'm having to eat steak. I'm looking at the Alps and I'm having to eat steak. Can't stand it. I can't. And it's hilly. It's hilly in the air. It's so clear it hurts my lungs.
I had a very, very, very nice time. It was a very pretty place.
Pick up any Italian coast, come on.
Buongiorno.
Buongiorno. Ciao. Pedro.
Who's he?
It means you're welcome.
Prego.
Prego, yeah.
Prego, not Pedro. Prego.
Grazie.
I hope you didn't say that when you were there. I've got this, watch this. No, I've got this. I've got it. I've got my Italian ready. I've got my book.
So whilst we're on the language barrier, there's always the fun bit, isn't there? So so Stan's flown home and I've gone for a day in the city. So I've kind of gone back to a city north of Milan, which is called Bergamo. And again, another hilly city, but kind of this time it is a city. And I've had too much pizza. I've had too much pasta. Like I can't eat another food for at least a week sort of thing. So I'm walking around and I'm like, it's tea time here. I'm going to have to eat some, otherwise I'm going to feel shy in the morning.
Hold on, you've just said yeah. You can't eat. And then you've gone, oh, it's tea time, I'm fucking starving. Why don't you go have a pizza? No, I won't. Fuck pizza, I'm having a steak.
So, my mum texted me.
You just said you can eat again.
So my mum texted me and was like, what are you doing for tea tonight? And I just put ice cream. Like, I am, for tea tonight, I am just having an ice cream. In the city, I've walked past, like, I basically did about 40,000 steps through the whole city, basically, to look at every single ice cream shop to see which had the best selection. And then I found this one, and I've walked back to it. So I've walked in to the gelato.
Rum and raisin, please!
And it's that, it's the old what size, small, medium, or large? So I've gone large. It's like 7 o'clock, I've not eaten, big mistake, that, Jack. Large is 4 scoops. So basically the man is there behind the counter. He's looking at me, I'm looking at him, and I just say, hello, kind of chants it, and he goes, ciao. And I was like, ciao, okay. All the flavours are in Italian. There's no pictures. So it's kind of just a
there's
point.
There's no pictures. There's no pictures. You've got all the rum and raisin picture. And you haven't got the vanilla picture. How am I going to know?
The only flavour that I could like translate was cheesecake.
When have you gone to an ice cream shop and there's been pictures? When have you ever fucking gone to an ice cream shop and go, what do you want? I have a picture. A picture of a cliff.
It kind of, it like might show you a picture of what it is next to it. Anyway, there wasn't that. The only word that I could translate was cheesecake because it's spelled exactly the same. Okay.
Ah, cheesecake.
And Nutella because it's obviously copyright. So I've done a bit of pointing. So I've pointed at 3 flavours. I've got 1 flavour left. I've gone biscuit.
Biscoff, like a Biscoff.
Yeah, it was like Biscoff ice cream. A flavour that I didn't know what it was that was M-A-U, which when I translated it, it said mousse. And I was like, yeah, try that. That was really good, actually.
Yeah.
And then what's their flavour called, Ben, that is just milk with shades of milk chocolate in? Begins with S. It's like the famous Italian ice cream flavour.
I don't know. Is there a picture?
Stracciatella?
Oh, yes, of course.
But that flavour, which is basically milk and bits of chocolate, really good. And then, Jack, I've pointed at one that looked, now, this looks good. And I've pointed and gone, what is that? And he went, cacao. And I've gone, it's not cacao because it's white and cacao is chocolate. So I was like, Blanc cacao. And he went, Blanc cacao, something white chocolate. Ha, oh, get in. Here we fucking go. Like, this is good. So I went, yeah. So that's my four flavours. I get outside, buzzing. My last day on my holidays, I'm having ice cream for tea. Put my scoop into my Blanc cacao. Fucking coconut. I was fuming.
That's a kick in the dick.
Oh, because you can't do coconut.
I was like, oh, what am I going to do? I had to eat around it.
Had it flooded it in?
And it all melts. Yeah, it all floods in.
Yeah, it made a little raid into the next ones.
Sorbet.
Fuck. You needed a fucking picture of a coconut. Fucking coconut.
If I'd have had a picture of a coconut, I would have known not to have it, wouldn't I? What I found was, like, you know, normally sometimes some places you go on holiday are like dead touristy. Well, obviously this isn't. It's not the place that, you know, people go. It's kind of, it, you know, it's proud of the fact that it is just this. It's I guess it's like going to the Lake District.
Mm.
You know, I guess that's kind of what it's like. And they just did stuff very, very well. But yeah, it meant that I had coconut ice cream when I thought I was getting white chocolate. So enough from me anyway, because I'm sure I'm boring people with stories of mountains and ice cream. Ben, what have you been up to?
I didn't go to Koa. I went to the London.
Oh, yeah.
That London.
I went to King's Cross. So I was meeting my mate. We were having to do something. And then I was meeting my mate. And King's Cross has all changed since I was there. Completely and utterly different. They've done the station. They've done all around. Google's there. It's just completely and utterly different. So I'm like, well, I don't know.
Google's there.
The new Google headquarters is there. It's got a running track, an Olympic running track on the roof. It's completely different. So King's Cross used to be not very nice. Pretty grim station, grim tube. Now it's extraordinary. All done. Station's all done. All at the back. There's beautiful shops, places to eat, coffee bars, everything. So anyway, I go to my mate. I go, he said, oh, I'm meeting King's Cross. I said, all right, yeah, great. I'll see you there. Where am I going to meet you? He said, oh, I'll meet you at the Harry Potter shop. I said, oh, fucking what? I'm fucking Harry fucking Potter shop. So I'm walking around. I go to this bloke. I go, Harry Potter shop. He said, yeah, crossover. Anyway, he texts me. He goes, oh, I'm going to be a bit late. Harry Potter shop, next to it, brick wall, with a fucking half a shopping trolley through it.
Platform 9 3/4.
Right, so my head's gone. There's a lad there doing the same job I did at the London Dungeon.
Oh, right.
So he was obviously bored out of his head, isn't he? He's had thousands of people pushing that cart through the wall. So people come up and he goes, oh, and they grab him. And he goes, oh, will you take a photo? And he goes, yeah, yeah, yeah. And he goes, look. And then I can see he starts suggesting things you would never do. So we got a girl and boy went up, this couple. He got the lad on the trolley. Then he got the girl pushing him. Then he goes, right, after five, scream as you're pushing. 1, 2, 3, scream. She goes, ah! Like she's pushing him through the wall. Well, my head had gone. He had loads. He had great ones. Looked like you've tripped over and you've just grabbed the trolley. Great. Photo. I mean, he was good. He was fucking... Looked like you've lost and you're pushing the trolley, but you don't quite know. Now look surprised. Your boyfriend looks surprised. Come on, give me surprise. And you can see. You know when you go out and you're with someone else and maybe it's a date or you're on holiday, but you want to try, but you can see these lads are in the queue and they're like, oh, no, I don't want to go up.
Yeah.
He's making the lads do. He's making them do like Quidditch. No, wave the wand. Wave the wand. You're Harry. I mean, I'll tell you what, he was class. And my mate was late. My mate was half an hour late. Oh, I was beside myself. I thought, he's good. And then he'd always do one, which I know, because I used to do this, was just for his own amusement. Mm. Something where he'd just go, oh God, I got them to do that. Or both, no one pushing, which I thought was brilliant. He said, no, both get on the thing. No one's pushed. You've just flown through. And then he'd do this face go. Everyone go, right, after five, scream. And they go, ah, like they don't want to be pushed through. I'm like, fair play. That was London. After that, it was all downhill.
It was just Harry Potter world at the train station.
Yeah, all I wanted to do was get on the train. I got off, see Harry Potter, and go back. Whoever that lad is, fair play. Brilliant. That was me. That was my week.
Shall we get into talking all things Ferris Bueller's Day Off?
Bueller.
So, let's get into talking all things this week's film, which is Ferris Bueller's Day Off. And because it was chosen by you guys at home, that means we get a fourth member of the podcast. And this week, we're welcoming onto Sofa Cinema Club Rachel Strong from Stockport. She's an office manager whose son has just graduated from Salford Uni, and she's very much looking forward to his graduation next month. Let's find out what Rachel Strong from Stockport said for her synopsis of Ferris Bueller's Day Off.
Hi, my name is Rachel, and this is my brief synopsis of one of my all-time favourite films, Ferris Bueller's Day Off. Ferris Bueller is charming and charismatic, and he doesn't feel like going to school today. He sets up an intricate ruse to fool his parents and teachers, then invites girlfriend Sloane and best friend Cameron to join him for a day of adventure, including visiting a museum, going to a baseball game, joining a parade and eating in a fancy French restaurant, as well as borrowing the beloved classic Ferrari that belongs to Cameron's dad. However, not everyone is fooled by Ferris's charm. His sister Jeannie is tired of Ferris getting away with everything and sets out to derail him. She's not the only one who feels something's not quite right. Ferris's principal, Ed Rooney, is determined to prove that Ferris isn't sick in bed, even if it means visiting Ferris at home. Ferris Bueller has a fabulous soundtrack and quotes you'll remember forever. And here's a fun fact. Writer John Hughes wrote the script for Ferris Bueller in just 6 days. Enjoy.
She's done your job, Jack.
Rachel, what the fuck?
She's done your job.
Ooh, and I have to say,
that's a very good synopsis.
She can't be including frigging facts in synopsis.
She's off the bench, come on.
Do you know what I really like there as well? She said, here's a brief synopsis, and then gone and done a better synopsis than any of us have done all series.
It's not easy to do. Cue Rachel in a minute.
What was her fact then, Jack?
A fact there was that John Hughes, he wrote the film in like 6 days a week, which was common. He always did that.
He wrote Plane Trains quick, doesn't he? Yeah.
Yeah. Home Alone, he, you know, Uncle Buck, all that. He did them all and like fast, just churned them out. Just had an idea, wrote them down. Took it to, I think, is it Paramount who produced this?
Yeah.
I think it's Paramount. Took it there. And they were like, great, John, you've brought us another golden gem. This is perfect. However, Screen Actors Guild are about to have a writer's strike and they're going to be picketing outside the studios in about half an hour. So can we sit on this for like a couple of months, wait until the strike's over and then we'll sort of like get the plans down to try and get it made. And he's like, all right, yeah, just let me know when it's all done.
So he literally just used to write films and get them made rapid.
But I suppose that's his style, isn't it?
Yeah.
He was box office gold at that time. And I suppose he got it out there as quick as he could and then worked it out from there.
So I watched this on the flight home this morning.
Had you seen it before, Coles?
I had seen it before, but before I'd had your influence of the way to watch a film, I must have been on my phone, basically. Because watching it this time, I actually watched it.
I love the way you said your influence of watching a film. What would that be? Well, watching it.
Yeah, I actually watching it. Not just having it on and hoovering.
Oh my God, how was that? Well, I never knew. It's like really good. You get a story and everything.
Do you know what? I've not done the old film and hoover for a while, actually.
What's the film and hoover?
That's what I used to do. I used to stick a shit film on and like do the hoovering and clean up whilst the film was on.
Who does that?
Well, Coulson in 2018.
What did you do there? What kind of like cleaning did you do? Like bathroom and have
you
it
can't
on?
Even hear it. So you're not watching it and you can't hear it.
So what would be a film you would have watched cleaning?
So you're now not in the room, you're not watching it and you can't hear it.
And then if someone asked you if you'd seen it, would you say, yeah, 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 so it's very good between the bog and the oven. It was fantastic.
Now I just listen to us in my ear when I clean. But I used to watch a film.
How far you've come.
Yeah.
Well, I watched this film with my girlfriend. She'd never seen this film before.
Oh, what a gem to have not seen it. How great.
Yeah, she really, really enjoyed it. Really loved it. And it's one of my son's favourite films. He's 7 years old. He's nearly eight. And I think when you're that age, you can relate so much to this film because all you know really is getting up and going to school.
Yeah.
Really, isn't it? So, and there's days, obviously, when kids don't want to go to school and this looks like a really fun day, doesn't it?
Did you ever have any good sick days?
I did, and I have actually pulled a sickie once. And I got the idea after watching The Exorcist.
So I turned all the heating off and I made it freezing cold in there.
And I levitated.
And I levitated and I made my head spin round. She went, "You better have the day off, Jack. You don't look great."
I think you possess.
It's a long way to go for a day off, that, isn't it?
I watched the film The Exorcist and then I was reading somewhere about how they made the sick the pea soup. Because it's pea soup, isn't it?
Did you in
the
throw Exorcist. Up into your mum's face?
I made like a pea soup in the middle of the night so that I could get up in the morning, put it down the toilet and then do retching noises going like that. And then mum goes, "What's wrong?" And I go, "I'm not well." Worked a charm.
What did you do on your day off?
Oh, just playing on PlayStation, bollocks all.
My big victory was getting the day off and making the soup. After that, it was all downhill.
My parents never fell for it, ever. If ever I tried to do that, "I'm sick," like, never fell for it. And, you know, like, if you were ill in school and you used to have to go to first aid and then they'd eventually ring your parent to say, "Can you come and collect him?" Like, they'd ring my dad and they'd be like, "Not a chance."
Not a chance.
Just leave him in.
What were you two like in school? Were you cool?
What do you mean? You're saying it like I'm not cool now. I've always been cool. I've always been fucking cool.
You are cool now, yeah, but were you cock of the school?
Yeah. We went to a teacher's strike. So it was like you had to get off the school premises to have your lunch. It was like really weird. You couldn't have a day off. We didn't have a sick bay. There wasn't one. There wasn't a nurse. No one rang up. You could just leave.
So you just didn't turn up.
You could just walk out. Like people walked out, had their lunch and came back.
Mm.
I think my favourite lesson was I got taught how to ride a motorbike by the history teacher. And we used to do rally driving in the winter. And he used to fucking great. He'd look at me in history because I was like, this is fucking Newcastle's fucking freezing. In the 80s, was just a whole period in Newcastle where it snowed every year. And he went, "I've got the hose out." He'd look at me, he'd go, Price. I go, "Yeah, got the hose out." So we'd spray the playground with water and it would freeze. Then you got a mini and you'd go rally driving on the car.
Oh my God.
I tell you what, it was absolutely brilliant. It was like, I mean, completely, you'd never get away with it.
What was that? PE?
No, it was like after school, like mechanics club or something, which was absolutely, we never built anything. Bollocks. We built a garage out of cement. And then he taught me how to ride motorbikes. Like we got onto the school field with motorbikes, two motorbikes. And then a lad came over once. I was riding it around. He came over and said, "Can you quieten down, my mum? My wife's having a baby." We were at school. Yeah, funny it was. It was funny. Man. Those are the days. So Ferris Bueller, yeah, it'd be perfect.
I used to, like PE, if it was like cross country or running. Like, I mean, obviously I'm a changed man now. But yeah, cross country. I used to ask my mum to write me a note, and sometimes she would and sometimes she wouldn't. But the trick was, if you had an injury, like if you'd sprained your ankle, you were allowed to wear trainers and not school shoes.
Hold on, you're running in school shoes?
No. So around school, if you were injured, you could say that your school shoes hurt so that you could wear not. So what I used to do is obviously take my PE kit, because I was going to school to do cross country, get into school, go to the toilet, change into my trainers, say that I've got the permission to wear my trainers because I'm injured, and then get out of cross country. Oh. Used to sit there marshalling at the top of a hill waving a flag. The cross country used to go past my parents' house and my dad's window looks out to where it goes. I remember one day he was like, "Sorry, I'm doing cross country." I was like, "Yeah, not my year, that. Not my year, Dad."
Fucking
hell, I might get busted.
I saw you sat on that hill with that fucking flag.
Flag, waving them through.
Eating a Thompson's the Bacon.
Wasn't cross country, I mean, cross country's absolute bollocks, isn't it?
I'd love to go back.
Oh, no, you'd be fine now, but in the cold.
And I'd love to do it with my school year group. I don't know why, just because I know that
I've got them together, Colson. Here they are. 25, who's laughing now?
The 10-year reunion.
Colson's turned up in running kit. We're doing cross country.
All you ones that call me fucking jiggly boobs, let's go.
Jiggly boobs.
We Who's laughing now?
Right, shall we go back to talking about the film?
Oh, yeah.
So, opening scene, breaks the fourth wall straight away, doesn't it?
I loved that all the way through. It talks to the camera all the way through. I loved it.
The only thing that I can relate that, like, breaking the fourth wall to is almost DiCaprio now in Wolf of Wall Street when he's talking about how he takes his drugs. It was similar to that. But as soon as I was watching it, I was like, oh, wow, okay. So he's literally talking to you. And it's almost like when you're watching that film, you go back to that childlike state that he is in, because everyone can relate to being in bed on the morning of a school day, can't they? And then you just know the minute he's got away with a school day that he's going to make sure that he has the best day ever.
When he breaks the fourth wall, he lets you into his story.
Yeah.
He lets you into being him. It's all a gag. So me and you in this story are going to play this gag against all the adults, and you can come with me.
Yeah.
It's a very clever device very early on. Suddenly you become... You want to be Ferris Bueller's mate.
It's you and him versus the world.
Exactly, yeah.
And it does that really well, and it does encapsulate it from minute one, you know. Even when Jennifer Grey, his sister, she's seen right through
dirty
it all.
Dirty Dancing.
Dirty Dancing.
Speaking of Dirty Dancing, them two did a bit of Dirty Dancing together, didn't they?
They were engaged.
Yeah? Yeah. Fell in love on the film.
Another couple who got it on after this film, Ferris Bueller's mum and dad.
Had two kids.
Yeah. They got married and then got divorced, like, years later. But, yeah, they got it on.
And they called them, their kids, the same name as the kids in the film.
Bollocks.
Ferris and...
Did?
No,
they fucking didn't. That would have been fucking great,
that
wouldn't it?
That would have been.
What's your son called?
Made
Ferris.
Up fat.
Oh, my God, how... Wow, that's crazy. We met on Ferris Bueller and we called him Ferris.
That would have been great if they'd have done that.
Well, but Ferris Bueller is from the name of director's mate, isn't it? Bueller. The director had a mate called Bueller, not Ferris, but something Bueller. So he named him after that.
Ferris's best mate, Cameron, is actually ill. So he is off school as well. And Ferris kind of rings him up and
says... Minthouse.
Minthouse. Obviously rich. His dad's a stockbroker, isn't he? And his mum's away with work. Ferris finally convinces him to come round and kind of help him pull off his plan. And step one on his plan of having the best day off ever is to get his girlfriend out of school. Now, we've heard stories about this on Sofa Cinema Club in the past because Hanny has pretended to be Jack on the phone, giving it the old, hello.
Hello.
Which is Jack. Exactly what they do, isn't it?
He does a great impression, doesn't he, of her dad. It's brilliant. I absolutely loved it.
So clever as well in the film of how, as the audience, we all think it's Ferris. And obviously the teacher thinks it's Ferris. The teacher knows that it's not legit. And then Ferris rings from another line and we see Ferris at home and we're like, oh, fuck, it's not Ferris. Who is it? And then we realise that it's Cameron and kind of their plan is all coming together and working nicely.
I suppose that's what's nice is you're not going to beat Ferris.
Mm.
He's not just a kid. You're not going to beat him. Everyone loves him. Everyone starts to think he's got losing a kidney. So they start making a big collection at school. Like the way the police know who he is.
Yeah.
You know, it's just, it's very clever because he's Ferris and everyone loves him.
They end up in Chicago in the city centre for basically the best day ever. And that is the complete aim, isn't it? And they start off by getting themselves a spot of lunch.
John Hughes, he films like all of his films in Chicago. I think it's because he lived there.
Is that why?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like Home Alone, Chicago, Planes, Trains, Automobiles, Chicago.
So when I went to drama school, when I did the course in New York, the like only lad that I got on with on the New York course, he lives in Chicago now. And like I keep in touch with him. And like he has like a very nice American life, like almost a Hannah Montana type life. Just America just looks amazing.
Has he said that? Has he said I've got a Hannah
I just
Montana.
See it on the IG.
Have you seen that movie, Hannah Montana? It's like every day. Cross with Ferris Bueller.
So maybe I should go to Chicago and I'd want to have a day like Ferris Bueller had.
So they go to the ball game, don't they? That's fun.
Really clever bit with the TV, isn't it?
Oh, the teacher, yeah.
So the teacher is basically... He knows that Ferris is up to
Is he
no
in
good.
A bar? Is he like drinking his sorrows in a bar?
No,
he's
gone to like the hangout spot, hasn't
That's
he?
That's it, yeah.
And he thinks he's seen Ferris and he goes up to him and he embarrasses himself and he gets it wrong. And in the background of the shot is the ball game on TV, and Ferris takes a catch in the crowd, and then the next thing you know, we're in the crowd, and it's, you know, it is just, you know, it's proper day off. Oh my God. So speaking of this story, bit Ferris Bueller-esque, but not. So I've got tickets for the Ashes, and I've gone to Dad, we've got tickets for the Ashes, and Dad's like, fucking amazing, like we're going to the Ashes. Obviously, cricket's 5 days, so it's weekdays, it's work. So Dad's at work, and he's had to do the old Ferris Bueller day off. I'm sick, I can't come in. We've gone to the Ashes. We're in a box, and the fucking Sky camera has gone on me, hasn't it? Dad sat there next to me, and it was at the time on Corrie, I was missing, and Bumble, the commentator, is a massive Corrie fan, and he was like, Beth, I've found him. I've found your lad. He's not missing. He's at the cricket. And I was like, Dad went, his BlackBerry started pinging, and like his workmate texted him and basically said, hey, we've got the day booked off. And he had, he did. He wasn't pulling a sickie.
Oh, funny.
That's very Ferris Bueller.
It is, yeah.
Using the old pea soup trick.
The old pea soup.
I love the way Ferris comes up with a really complicated plan of things on the door, noises and everything. Jack P. Shepherd, I'm using pea soup. Dan Bogg, I don't need to muck around now with any fancy electronics. It's pea soup, Dan Bogg. I'm off.
So you've had a nice lunch. You've had a drive. You've been to the ball game. I think the only thing to do now is to join a parade, isn't it?
No, you've won two, miss a few. That restaurant that they go to, you know, that French restaurant?
Yeah.
That's the same restaurant that the Blues Brothers go to in Chicago and wreck.
Is it?
Yeah, that Jake and Elwood Blues went to. You know, and they go and they start ordering loads of champagne and they start making a noise and everything. That's the same restaurant that the Blues Brothers...
See, that's a good fact.
That's good.
That's not good. Easy to pull out.
He uses his old telephone as well, doesn't he, Ferris? It'd be a nightmare with an iPhone. He'd be able to get up to loads.
You see, this is the thing. His mum and dad must be loaded. He's got the synthesizer, which in 1986 cost $8,000.
Dude, it's different times then. His sister's got
that white little sports car. She's got that.
She's got a Porsche.
Yeah.
Like it's real though, Jack. Literally like it's real. He's got a synthesizer. It's worth $8,000. He's Ferris.
He can do what he wants. So making sure they get in something a little bit educational. They have a trip out to the museum, don't they?
I really loved this scene.
With Cameron.
Just the whole shots that the director uses there of just showing them, just looking at the art and the sort of score, the music that he's put over the top. I don't know why I enjoyed it so much, but I was just smiling through watching it. I thought it was a really nice touch.
He has a lot of confidence as a director, doesn't he?
Mm. And he said that he put that in because it was something that he enjoyed to do. So he thought, well, what would I do on my day off? I would go and I'd look around an art gallery because I think they're really beautiful and peaceful. And he just put it in.
And there's that bit with Cameron where he kind of sees a painting of a child in madness, and he kind of relates to it, doesn't he?
Mm.
And sees himself in the painting, and the shots just jump and jump and jump and jump.
He does those massive close-ups quite a lot, doesn't he, John Hughes? He does them at the beginning of the film as well, when they're in the economics class, and the teacher's talking to him. He's giving some sort of lecture to the whole class, and he just does massive close-ups on the students, literally not listening to a single word that he's saying. And that actor that he picked to do that, you've probably seen him in loads of films, but don't know his name, and neither do I, so don't ask.
The teacher.
The teacher.
Who does the register at the start.
Yes.
Yeah.
He was, like, a graduate from, like, a university, and he had a major in economics. So John Hughes says, there's no script, I just want you to give a lecture to these students. That's it. He wasn't an actor, and he just did it as though he was just doing a speech, basically, and just talked to him in his mundane voice, and then he's got job after job doing that same sort of character.
Bueller!
Yeah.
Bueller!
Bueller.
I love that.
Yeah.
Very smart. I think you're right, Jack. Some very subtle filmmaking,
mm.
slice of life stuff. He goes from that very kind of rom-com-y to then a slice of teenage life that they're having this horrendously boring time and Beulah is having this extraordinary life.
Mm-hmm.
Very well done.
And all the kids in school think that Beulah is this absolute legend, don't they? You know, he's getting attention all over Chicago from everybody. They kind of, he's almost like a mythical legend, isn't he? He's got this status behind him.
And I love that bit where he's on the phone at school and he just says, hand me to someone else.
Yeah, put someone else on. And they just pass him to the next person and they're like, Ferris?
Oh, hi, Ferris. And it's so quick. It's so clever. Everyone knows him and everyone likes him. And it's just a tiny bit of dialogue and a phone handed over. And I thought, God, that's smart.
Even the teacher's assistant, she is like a Ferris fan, isn't she? And, she's brilliant in the way that she does it. And she's like, oh, well, Ferris is pretty popular.
And hates the sister.
Yeah.
Gives her nothing. Hates the sister, but loves Ferris.
So then they decide to join a parade. And it's kind of this bit where this is like the bigness, isn't it? Well, it's weird because for me, this was massive because it's a musical number when you're not expecting a musical number.
No CGI.
It was mint. There must have been an actual parade in the
seats. Well, yeah.
There was a parade. There was a parade on in Chicago that day, and they were coming down to film that scene during the parade. It's all arranged. And they did a radio announcement and said, John Hughes film in Chicago during the parade. If you want to be in the film, come down. 10,000 people showed up in downtown Chicago to be in Ferris Bueller. And he gets on that float, and he's got a couple of musical numbers rehearsed. That Dankeschön, that song, yeah. He sings that German song, doesn't he? Yeah. And then he does the Beatles.
Shake Your Tail Feather. Twist and Shout.
Twist and Shout, yeah.
Shake Your Tail Feather. Come on and shake.
I meant to say Twist and Shout, and that came out.
You know, there's a few shots, and it shows, like, the construction workers and, like, the window cleaners.
That's got to be real. The construction workers just has... Yeah.
It is
real.
When
it panned to that, I went, that is real. They are real lads who are just taking the piss and having a great time.
Yeah, they were.
It's the sort of thing you can imagine happening to us.
Yeah.
But that's the thing, you see, you get from the fact it's not CGI.
Yeah. Get realness. Yeah.
You get realness. Like, they're in it. It's like happening. They're filming it.
It's so American, that, though, isn't it? It proper reminds me of, like, Ghostbusters.
Yes.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah!
I went, fair play to the Americans. If they want to give it, they can
give it. They give it. Yeah.
You couldn't have casted actors to play the crowd or to play the workmen. You couldn't have got that better than what they got.
And you couldn't have done it in Leeds.
No,
yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, they all get into it.
Yeah.
For Twist and Shout, he smashes that, doesn't he?
Yeah. Straight to judges' houses.
I don't know how many takes that must have took, but he's loving it. Absolutely loving it.
But there's something interesting about his performance. He is loving it, but he's also retaining that part of him, which is Ferris, which is looking, going, isn't this a bit crazy? You know, he's not completely like... out of his character. He still retains a character while he's singing, and he's almost singing to his own, he's just his two mates, but all this stuff's going on around him, and he's going out, he's living his best life.
Yeah, and his mates are really like, how does he do it? Like, they're kind of, I mean, Cameron's extremely envious and jealous, isn't he, of Ferris and everything he's got, and I think Cameron's kind of making big decisions now about himself and the way he lives his life.
Well, he should have a bit of Ferris in him.
Yeah, everyone wants to be Ferris, don't they? They all want that fun. And yeah, they jump back in the old Ferrari that's been for a joyride whilst it's had its valet, hasn't it?
Are they making their way home then?
Yeah, they're heading
home. Oh, they go to the jacuzzi. They do that, don't they, for a bit?
And they all go back their separate ways. And tomorrow he's going back to school. And it is a moment of, yeah, we'll see you in the morning.
There's a few great scenes when he almost gets caught in Chicago, doesn't he, by his dad.
Yeah.
You know, coming out the restaurant, the taxi, that's all funny.
Yeah.
And then his sister decides, because in the background the teacher's trying to get to him, and his sister decides to blow the whole gaff and tell everyone what's going on. But then she gets arrested.
Yeah, and she has a moment, doesn't she, in the jail where she actually realises that her brother's not all that bad.
Well, Charlie Sheen, she has that scene with Charlie Sheen.
Who looks like Steve McDonald.
Do you know Charlie Sheen actually stayed awake for 48 hours before filming that scene?
He's great, isn't he?
Is that how method he is? Yeah.
Well, he probably was at the time. I mean, he was probably just out partying.
He's great in it, though.
Yeah, he is great. Yeah,
he's great in it. Just one scene, but he's great. You go, yeah. You know what I mean? He's got real charm about him.
Yeah.
And he goes, oh, your brother sounds all right. Why are you getting into him?
Yeah.
And you just keep on your own side of the tracks. And I was like, yeah, great scene. And then she does that very, very well when her mum comes to pick her up and she's really excited by a boyfriend or something, a little fling. She plays that so well.
She's so real. Cute.
Yeah, really brilliant.
She is great. And then Ferris is on his way back home and it's kind of the race, isn't it? It's the dad from Chicago. It's the sister and mum and it's Ferris basically, isn't it? It's all them. And in the end, his sister basically bails him out.
Yeah, well, what we've seen as well previous is the head teacher, who, by the way, is called Mr. Rooney, yeah?
Yeah.
My daughter's deputy head teacher's called Mr. Friggin' Rooney. Can you believe that? I loved it. I absolutely straight got on the phone texting her saying, Mr. Rooney's in Ferris Bueller's Day Off. She's like, I know. It's great, isn't it?
Ed Rooney.
Yeah.
So he's been at the house and he's been attacked by that dog, which I thought was brilliant. And he goes through.
A nightmare.
When he puts his head through dog flap.
Well, he thinks it's a cat flap. My head is thinking cat flap.
Big cat.
And his head goes through. And I thought at the time, this has got so many notes of Home Alone. Hasn't it?
Yeah.
Even a little bit of like Bueller setting up the little traps, you know, in his bedroom for like opening. And I thought, oh my God, you can easily see how he's got the inspiration and the idea for Home Alone just from that film alone. You know, the adult trying to get in and the kid always being on the winning end.
Mm.
But yeah, so the teacher is onto him. The teacher's running to the house. He's also crashed the Ferrari.
Which is an amazing bit, and they crashed it too far. It was only meant to crash down at the bottom, and it sped off so hard it went to the next door's garden.
Oh, wow.
So when they show the shot of the car crashed, it's gone next door.
And that's why you can see the fence.
Yes. Hi, can I have my car back? And it had crashed right through the back garden. They completely got it wrong. So when they're looking, they're like, oh, shit, that's gone a bit far. But that was a great bit of the film. I loved that bit.
And Jack said the bit with Mr. Rooney is that Ferris always wins. And he does win, doesn't he? He wins this battle and then he's back upstairs in bed when his mum and dad come into the room. And, you know, he says, I'm feeling 150% better. And please don't make me have another day off. I want to go back to school tomorrow because I don't want to be held back a year. And it's kind of that moment where you go, he's got everyone in the palm of his hand. And literally, the world that day was his. It was his world to take over, and he did it in his own way. Shall we have a quick little break, and then we'll come back and give our ratings?
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
So, ratings.
I think you should go first, Colson.
Oh, I wasn't going to. This is a curveball.
No, I think you should. Because you know it's a big film of me and Jax. And actually, I think that you need to say, you know that. We've mentioned it before. And I think you need to now say what you think without getting colored by what we think.
See, I was going to... I wanted you to go first. Okay, right. I really, really liked this film. The first time I'd watched it, I did not appreciate it whatsoever. Like, I obviously... It's like I haven't watched the same film sort of thing. So I'm basically classing this as the first time I've watched it. I loved it. It kind of gives me the same sort of reality as those films that I'm in love with from my Disney Channel days of one person taking on the world and that kind of teenage, it gives me massive Disney Channel vibes. It really does. Yeah, loved it. Enjoyable. A great hour and 40 minutes. You want to be Ferris Bueller. You want to have his girlfriend. You want to have his best mate. You just want that life, and you want to be him, and yeah, 9.2.
Oof.
Yeah, big.
Price?
Yeah, great. So when it first came out, I was probably 14, 15. Fantastic film. Very well made. Well written. Watched it with my son. He'd seen it he'd never seen it before. There were so many great bits that he loved. He loved Ferris. Eight.
I'm going to go 7.8.
Wow, okay.
Fuck off. Fuck right off.
That's a lot lower than I was expecting. I really, really liked this film. I really like it.
I think John Hughes has done better films, which is why I think it's in the sevens.
I've not taken into consideration any of the directing, any of the writing, any of the shots, like I sometimes have to do with the films that you guys pick. I have just taken in a face value of the pure entertainment that I got from the
film.
Maybe
that's what you should do, Coles. Maybe my way of looking at the film's wrong. I mean, I'm probably just falling into the trap and go, I've seen John Hughes do better films. Home Alone's a better film. Planes, Trains and Automobiles, better film. But for me, 7.8, I feel as though that's still a very good rating. For what it is, I mean, it is just a kid's day off, you know? And I think 7.8 is fair. I do love what the director's done. I love all the performances. I think it's Alan Ruck who plays Cameron.
Yeah.
I think he's done a great job. Matthew Broderick, obviously, the teacher. He's one of my favourite characters in the film. And a lot of his stuff was improvised as well. John Hughes just said, look, just go, just have make fun. Up some stuff, have fun. I love that random line he says when he's trying to get in the house and he goes, I'm stuck out here with my cheese in the wind. And just because John Hughes said, I just want you to say some nonsense outside, and that's just one of the ad-libs he came out with. I do feel as though they had a lot of fun making this film, and it shows through a lot on screen. And I think when you sit down at home, I do find myself smiling watching it.
So the only reason it's not got a higher rating is because you've seen John Hughes do similar stuff that's better?
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
Because Home Alone's your film.
Yeah, Home Alone. I mean, come on.
Yeah.
You're talking nines, close to tens. I mean, Home Alone is Home Alone.
What's the total score then?
25.
25, that is big.
I think what's extraordinary is, on paper, a very thin film. Executed brilliantly by Broderick, brilliant director. But on paper, very thin.
Mm.
Boy takes day off from school. But look, we're still talking about it now, 35 years on Netflix.
So 25 out of 30 for Ferris Bueller's Day Off, which is the last episode of Series 4. Before we do a little bit of a recap of the films in Series 4, it is time for one last time this series. How are we doing it?
Jack's hidden gem of the week.
Last one of Series 4.
There's only one thing I can really mention, really. I mean, the gem this week, it's got to be Squid Game.
I've not seen it.
Have you not seen it?
And it's hardly a hidden gem. It is the most seen show on Netflix ever.
It's hardly... But you know what? I've got to mention it. I have got to mention it.
Is it amazing?
I put this off, right? Because I thought, well, it's just Battle Royale. They've literally just redone Battle Royale and everyone's going, oh my God, it's amazing. It's never been done before. I went, well, it has. I watched episode one, wasn't blown away. I went, it's all right. I've not... After two, three, four, you are in. You are playing the frigging game. Honestly, you're in. It's all about the characters, the relationships. They're all intertwined. Very, very clever. And another thing that's really nice, actually, the guy who created it, he tried to get it made for 10 years.
Wow.
And he got turned away by like 50 studios. They all said, shite, go away, piss off. You don't know what you're doing. He was skint. He had no money. He ended up having to sell his laptop to make rent because he just had no money. And he thought it's no one's ever going to pick it up. And then who comes along? Netflix. And they said, we think you're onto something. We're going to take you on board with this Squid Game. And they have, and he's created it, he's wrote it, he's directed it. And it is very good. I've got to hand it to him. It is very good. You have to watch it with the Korean subtitles. Don't be doing any of that dub shit.
Yeah.
So me and Ben were going to start watching it, and we had a slight disagreement. So I said we'd watch it on our own.
Because you said you couldn't watch it subtitled. You had to watch it dubbed.
No. I said if I'm going to watch it subtitled, I can't be watching it at 10 o'clock at night. Like, I need to watch it 4 o'clock midday with the blinds shut.
Now, my girlfriend's sister has just started watching it, and after like three episodes, she's ringing me up saying, I don't understand what's going on, blah, blah, blah. Why has this happened? Why has that happened? I went, have you been watching it? She goes, yeah. And I go, I know you've been on your phone, haven't you? She goes, well, yeah, I was like texting. I was, because she does what you do. She'll do something else while watching something. Yeah. So you can't, you have to watch. Honey's like, well, I'm just going to paint my nails. I went, babe, it's in Korean. You can't listen. How good you Korean? You have to frigging watch and read.
Yeah.
She's like, right, okay, we're in. But honestly, we've watched it. We loved it. That's the gem.
How many eps, Jack? Jack's not so hidden gem.
Jack's not so hidden gem.
How many eps?
Nine eps. 9 hours.
I've mentioned once or twice that this is our last episode of Series 4. We've covered a lot of films in Series 4. 21, which is our standard number now for a series. So the highest rated film of Series 4 is E.T. The lowest rated film is Holes. But what film have you enjoyed the most? Starting off with you, Ben.
Vantage Point.
Get in. Knew it.
I mean, an undiscovered gem.
I knew it.
Vantage Point.
Not a single 10 from me this series. You believe that? Not a single 10.
Yeah, but you piss about with the point thingies. So, of course, you can get away with that. 9.7 is a 10.
9.7 was my highest rated.
But it is a 10.
It's not.
Because if you go 9, 10, but you piss around with 0.0004% pi, of course you don't give a 10.
My highest rating of the series, High School Musical.
10. Is that a 10?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Shy.
We're all in this together. And we'll be back together for Series 5, hopefully, won't we?
Yep, defo.
We're hoping to come back later in 2021 to give you more Sofa Cinema Club around Christmas time. A few Christmas films to get you in the mood.
Christmas is big for us. We've always done a couple of Christmas movies.
Christmas, we're rammed.
Got so much to do, so much to watch.
I don't know what my Christmas film's going to be this year. I know what my first pick of Series 5 is.
Oof.
I could tease it, actually, to some of the audience at home because... I've just been to Italy, and it's a classic for my generation who want to go to Italy. I will leave it as that because we'll be back in Series 5 where we're reviewing more films that you should have seen but you haven't. We're continuing the educational journey of Sofa Cinema Club, and we'll be back with more Extraterrestrial and more Sofa Cinema Club coming soon. Until then, good night, God bless.
Good night.
Night.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince, they exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedy-ad-free. That's amazon.com/comedy-ad-free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.